Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Yes, he is on. Fire. Fire in the belly, as usual, and in other places as well. Good to talk to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we have an interesting program tonight, and, with us for a bit tonight will be someone that we had a little difficulty locating. The last time he was on the show, and the time before that, and he's been a regular now, and he's been a real threat to certain people. His knowledge, his understanding, his eyewitness accounts of history, treason, treachery, you name it, he's done it, he's seen it, and he has been making waves. Of course, his name is Eustace Mullins. Welcome back, Eustace Mullins, to the program.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
My goodness, I couldn't believe it, but I detected that when we had trouble getting you and all of your messages were being forwarded or eliminated and not responded to, that you might have been on that tap list of the Mossad. And sure enough, you were.
I was. They were relaying all of my personal calls to my phone were being relayed to an office in New York. And my phone never rang. That was the terrible part. And people were writing me letters, bawling me out, why don't I answer my phone?
Exactly. We've had a number of calls, and a number of people usually call you after every appearance.
Yes.
So that tells you something. Now, how did you confirm this, Eustace, that you were...
I happened to have two friends of mine in New York mm-hmm. who had spots and meeting for me, mm-hmm. and they couldn't reach me. They got disturbed, and they started tracing the calls. And they found out that they were being relayed to this... A phone in New York City.
And this phone was tied in with the Mossad, the Israeli Mossad?
It was one of the Mossad offices, but it was a little room in the corner mm-hmm. with the phone in it, but nobody ever answered that phone.
Very interesting.
So it rang all night, and the people who were calling could hear the phone ringing, so they assumed it was my phone that was ringing, and I wasn't answering it.
Exactly. Yeah, this went on for a while. We tried to get in touch with you about a half dozen times.
Well,
and I suspected something was happening.
Some people said they called me for 6 months.
Well, no, because we had gotten in touch with you about a month ago, but after that it was a difficult thing. Now, what makes little old Eustace Mullins, a man in his 80s, a threat or of concern to the Israeli government and the Israeli Mossad?
Well, my foundation. You see, I have a firm foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the protege of Ezra Pound,
yes.
The greatest literary mind of the 20th
mm-hmm.
century.
Mm-hmm.
A protege of H.L. Hunt, who was the richest man in the world. And of, let's see, who's the third one? Oh, Senator Joe McCarthy.
Right.
So
that'll get you in trouble right there.
Well, those three people. And here is the strange thing about all three of those men. They were the finest men I ever met,
mm-hmm.
and personally, they were very gregarious and were very well liked.
Mm-hmm.
Although you never know that from the way people talk about him today.
Well, by the masses and by the average Joe on the street,
yes,
yeah,
just
like Jesus. You know, the Jesus of the Bible, we're told, was loved by the masses and the multitudes.
Oh, well, he had to be. There's no question about it.
And yet, the same people that hate you today and me hated Jesus then, the Kenites, as we call them. And they murdered him. Well, we'll be back with our guest, Eustace Mullins. Join us. I'm Rick Adams, Uncensored Radio Free America. We'll be back.
Hitting them pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on, right on base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
Yes, he is, and he's here. Fortunately, Eustace Mullins has not been abducted. He is with us. and he's back after a little hiatus. And Eustace, you're telling us about all your problems, and for those who don't know you, for those who haven't heard you, the number of times you've been heard on this network and elsewhere, tell us a little bit about, you know, you mentioned Ezra Pound and great heroes like that. Tell us a little bit about how you managed to be the first man ever fired from the Library of Congress for political reasons.
Well, I wrote the history of the Federal Reserve System under the commission by Ezra Pound himself. It's the only book he ever commissioned anyone to write in his entire literary career. And I call that book Ezra Pound's Revenge. His revenge on the people who locked him up with a trial in the madhouse for 13 and a half years. So that book is, by the way, I just mailed that case up today. They go out every day, and it's, the book is doing its work, and it's had plagiarized numerous times, and even the plagiarizations carry on the work of the book.
Well, that's good. And last time you were here, we had some people asking if you might want to join the computer age and get your own pod, and you know, people can check in with you from time to time and keep in touch with you. And I hope that maybe that will progress as well, so that you can be on top of things and people can communicate with you all the time in this modern age that we speak of. You know, it's not the age that we grew up in, the analog age. It's the age of digitals and digits and control. So, unfortunately, or fortunately, we have to be, you know, doing as much as we can, because this is where the action is, on the Internet. It's on computer, it's on file, and, you know, it's a whole new world today than when you were obviously growing up, a young man. And and so we hope you will. Hope you'll be able to do that, obviously.
Well, I'd like to do that. You see, when I was being educated by Ezra Pound in the insane asylum, there was no such thing as a computer in those days. And so I'm a little behind on that. But I have absolutely worked with the human brain. It's the only thing I've ever used in my life. And that's all Ezra has ever had, was the human brain.
And it worked pretty well, didn't it?
Well, he assumed command of all of the history and art of the world, and that is quite a lot for a human brain computer to do, but it can't be done.
Well, that's absolutely true, and your specialty, well, you've had a number of them, but one in particular that I find a great treasure from you, and that is your work on the conspiracy of the Federal Reserve System and how illegal and how corrupt the whole money system is in America today. And all we have to do now is listen to the man himself, Alan Greenspan, tell us that things are out of control. He has no control over anything, so he says, and that this this economy is just totally, absolutely wacky, you know, to use some of his own phraseology. But a lot of that is, of course, disinformation, as you know, deliberately being put out.
It's disinformation. Because Alan Greenspan is the person who brought on this crisis.
He's
flooded the world with this fiat money, the Federal Reserve notes, and they're really, they have a dilemma.
And, you know, when you think about it, here's the man, the same man, Alan Greenspan, who, when he was with the objectivist Ayn Rand, said that this system was indeed the most corrupt system, and he wouldn't want any part of it. He denounced the Fed. He said it was an engine of inflation and all of that, and yet here he is now. For all of these years, he's the man who sits by the printing press and is devaluing our money as we speak each and every day. And he knows how corrupt from personal hand knowledge, and yet he's part of it. So it goes to show you just how dishonest it makes people, or it encourages people to be. When you're dealing with dishonest money, you have to be dishonest yourself. And it makes good people very corrupt, doesn't it, Eustace?
It does indeed. And he is the master salesman who has flooded the world with this phony money.
Absolutely.
Which has nothing behind it. Even today, the U.S. government is not even behind it.
Well, you know, it's so ironic because here we are in the midst of this contrived energy situation now, and we've got Pinocchio in the White House telling us we should give up all of our freedoms now. The federal government's our savior. Conserve more. Do with less. You know, as if he's doing any of those things and waging war at the same time. And yet, people are finger-pointing. Everybody's blaming the politicians. Everybody's blaming the merchants. Everybody's blaming the oil companies, but not one program you will ever see, except this program here and a handful of others, will deal with a real culprit in all of this, and that's the Federal Reserve System. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it really is. And, you know, I was on Morton Downey's show.
I remember.
Morton was the fastest-rising person on the television scene.
Until you came on.
And when I came on, his career was over the same night.
It's amazing. That was the last program, huh? Federal Reserve System.
The next morning, they canceled all of his advertising contracts.
That's amazing, but true. I was aware of that.
Yeah.
And, he was starting to get into areas that he wasn't supposed to get into.
He didn't know that.
He was just
being a showman. He was great at it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a showman, but the thing is, he wasn't afraid to touch any subject. I mean, he had Mr. Dershowitz on, and he had on the alleged... Ivan the Terrible's family defending him, John Dumyenyuk, and they made a fool out of Dershowitz, and Dershowitz ran out with his tail between his legs. But fact of the matter is, those kinds of programs were like, hey, not welcome here. You know, we're not supposed to be talking about real issues. We're supposed to be talking like Oprah about nonsense and giddy stuff and superfluous stuff. Can't do that. Can't do that, Mort. Time to say goodbye.
Well, I felt bad about that because he's the only person that ever went down on account of me. But I certainly had no aim to do that.
Well, no, I know.
In fact, I never dreamed. I thought this would give him some problems because I had known talk show hosts on talk radio that took the programs canceled. Mm-hmm. I had one guy in Denver get four programs shot out from under in a row when I appeared on his program.
Yep. Well, thank God for RBN here, Republic Broadcasting. We are unique, and this program is the whole network is committed to the truth, to exposing these evils. And so this is what sets apart the boys from the men, you see? And thank God for that. I do. I really do every day, because our listeners appreciate it. And the people that call in and listen to us can testify to that. In fact, we'll invite them to do that anytime now. 800-313-9443 is the magic number. Toll free, 800-313-9443. Eustace Mullins is here tonight, and he's back from a long hiatus. And apparently, as you heard from the horse's mouth, he was not being permitted to get his phone calls and messages. And they were being relayed to a Mossad front in New York. And this is no made-up baloney. This is true. It's from the horse's mouth. It goes to show you how we are stepping on toes. We are beginning to make some waves. People are listening and taking notice. So you better mind your P's and Q's and pray and do what's right, because the enemy is an evil enemy that will stop at nothing, my friends, to silence these voices. And you can testify to that personally, Eustace. I am well aware of.
Well, I'm aware of it every day. But it's my existence, and I'm not going to run away from it.
No. No, and you've been a fighter all your life, and you've had some close calls, too. You've had some run-ins. And
oh, I've had some close calls, yes.
Yeah. Maybe if you get a chance, you want to tell us about some of them. What was the closest call you ever had, and where you thought maybe there was a chance you weren't going to make it?
Oh, well, you know, my brake line on my cars was cut 8 different times.
8 times.
And each time I almost crashed, I could have been killed. But they burned down. This was right at Rockefeller's headquarters, which is Jackson Hole, Wyoming. You know, he bought that whole area in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest Rockefeller ranch is still there. He had President Clinton as a house guest for a while up there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was there. I was helping a guy start a radio show in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and which is just over the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in the motel, the Anvil Motel there, and at 3:30 in the morning, I was awakened by something. It was no noise or anything. I didn't smell anything. But I went to the window and looked out, and there were lights dancing on the window. And so I opened the door of my room, and the whole hall was burning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on this, it was a two-floor hotel. I was on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know what was going on, but I knew the place was burning down. So I ran one way, and that was a sea of flame. So I ran the other way, and the entire hall was burning around me. It was almost like a horror show. But I ran for my life, and I got out of there with just a T-shirt on my back.
Oh, so you've had a number of close calls. All right, I can see that.
Yeah, in fact, I hadn't thought about that for a long time, but I don't even think about these things because
incredible.
I have to be reminded of them, really.
Absolutely. That's fascinating. All right, let's give the number out. We've got callers on the phones, Alex and others, and we will get to them. Again, 800-313-9443 is the number, toll-free, to get on this program, Uncensored Radio, Free America, with Rick Adams and Radio Avenger, I call myself, and we are here to bring you the opportunity to learn about what is happening in our very midst. It's getting very, very heavy. And our guest, of course, Eustace Mullins, who's a survivor, as you can hear, and certainly a man that I have a lot of respect for, who's lived through the past three quarters of a century and seen what others are writing about now. We'll be back with him and your calls after this break. Stay tuned. Avenger here, Rick Adams, our guest, Mr. Eustace Mullins, 800-313-9443, and let us begin our journey by going to the phones. Hello, Alex in Texas. Welcome.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Eustace Mullins and his great books and his work, and, of course, Ezra Pound, just an incredible mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting here leaving the TV studio listening to Eustace, kind of irritated, going, man, I had Eustace set up a couple times, and every time I'd call to get him on, his phone would ring and ring.
Exactly.
And then I heard you tell the story about the phone calls being redirected, and that's
yes.
what would happen. They would just ring and ring. And then I thought, wait a minute, Jeff Rentz, who's also interviewed your guest many times, my office got a call one time, and they said, oh, this is Jeff Rentz's secretary. Alex won't be needed tonight. Thank you. And then Jeff called up that night and left a message. Where are you, Alex? Well, I called him, and I said, well, you canceled. And he even tracked it back to a known admitted Mossad agent
up in
Canada, in Toronto, who just called like six or seven of his guests that week and said, you're not needed. And so is that what happened, Eustace? Because I really want to get you on.
Yep.
Well, you know, I never had that happen to me. I never had a show canceled by some of my agents like that.
And it just started within the past month or so. Is that right?
Oh, no, this has been going on for 2 years.
Well, no, this phone problem. I never had a problem getting you until this past month.
Oh, you know, this phone problem has been consistent for the last 2 years.
I see.
Well, Eustace, can I get you on tomorrow? I mean, I hate to do this on Rick.
That's all right. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
I mean, it's irritating because I really want to get the legend, on my show again. I haven't had you on in years, and we can't let him stop us, Eustace.
Well, no, they're not stopping me at all.
All right, so you're available tomorrow to go on with Alex, right?
Yes.
Okay, you got to pick up on that first ring now.
Oh, I do. That's the way I beat him.
If it rings
three times, it goes on the relay.
Well,
and
you
that's
know,
the last time we hear of it.
See, Alex, here we have it from the horse's mouth. Now, it's not you saying it. It's not me saying it. It's a man of great integrity here who doesn't have any fish in the water here. I'm not saying we don't have credibility or integrity, but here's someone that is a third party that can tell you directly what he's speaking about. He's telling you about this connection here, this Mossad connection.
Well, listen, Jeff Rentz will tell you. I mean, literally, this guy called up very credibly and said, this is Jeff's assistant. We don't need you today. And Jeff even tracked back who the guy is. So So, I mean, I've had this done to me to keep me off Jeff's show.
Right.
And I'm sick of it. Well, listen, Eustace, what time zone are you in?
He's on Eastern time, Eastern.
Well, can you come on at 1 o'clock your time tomorrow?
You mean during the day?
Of course.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. 1 o'clock by time.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
On record, I'm calling you at 1 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, my friend.
Okay.
Rick,
we'll be looking forward to
this. It's so important, and we can't let them keep Eustace from the people.
No. I mean, they're circling the wagons now. They're getting really nervous.
They really are.
I
went through about a three-month period where I wasn't doing any talk shows because they did have to cut off. And then people started calling back in. Rick started calling and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually they realized what was going on. But, you know, when I tell somebody that my phone calls directed to me are being relayed to an office in New York, it sounds like absolute paranoia.
Well, but you've got the proof. You've got the evidence, and you shared it with me.
What
people need to know.
They do.
People need to know the truth. We're not making this stuff up. It's not paranoia. It's reality.
Yes,
we know what this government's capable of, don't we, Alex?
Oh, certainly.
Well, I mean, I get phone calls saying, Mr. Rentz won't need you tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called Jeff, and he goes, oh, yeah, seven of my guests had this same phone call.
Hey, Alex, while I have you on the phone, you saw Baby Bush, Pinocchio, do his thing yesterday all day, telling us how we need to give up our freedoms to the federal government. We need to do away with posse comitatus. I mean, wasn't it really in your face? Wasn't it really bold and brash like never before?
Well, it certainly was. I mean, we need troops. We need to use troops on you. Get rid of this federal law. I mean, we have that law for a reason, and this is Caesar bringing his legions across the Rubicon, folks.
Mm,
this is martial law, and in that granite shadow exercise they had last Friday, they admit it is to troops to kill Americans and to control populations. They got bad things planned. Everybody needs to call Congress on the thought crimes bill and on the posse comitatus that piece of trash, Warner of the Armed Services Committee. I mean, these are traitorous pieces of rat excrement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's my senator for Virginia. I went to college with him.
Oh, boy.
Well, FBI file when the FBI had stalled me for 2 years and refused to turn over my FBI phone. And so I sent John a note and told him what our problem was,
mm-hmm.
and my FBI file was delivered to my front door 2 days later.
Mm.
Well, wasn't that nice of Mr. Warner?
Yeah.
Well, so you see, there's some good in everybody.
I like the way you can fluff it off. You have a way with words. Thanks, Alex Jones. We'll hear you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll be listening to you tomorrow on Alex's show, too. The only way to deal with these criminals is to confront them and to go out and not take the defensive, as you can hear, but to go on the offensive, Eustace, and that's what we intend to do.
Well, you certainly do. And what is called federal law today is really Lynch law.
That's
this
right.
is the law of the Old West.
No,
ain't
it
no
is.
First
it's worse than the Old West. Stay where you are, Eustace. We'll be right back. All right. Eustace Mullins, our guest. You can join in, too. 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is turned on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Well, we are doing that. We are turning on America now for the voices of truth, reality radio, we call it. And you can be a part of it by joining us anytime you wish, 800-313-9443. My guest is Eustace Mullins. And he, of course, is a man who, as I say over and over again, Eustace, because it's true, you have lived this life for a long time. You lived through the wars, the world wars, and you saw the lies, the deception, the propaganda, the same crap that we're being fed today by the same voices, the same people telling us that we need to go around the world, spend our money, our capital, which we don't have, and waste the blood and guts of our young people defending freedom, is what they call it. Nothing has changed in all of these years that you've been around, has it?
Not at all. We're still in Operation Freedom.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, we ended all wars and conflicts in World War I, didn't we?
Oh, Woodrow Wilson said the war to end all wars. and it was born six blocks from where I'm sitting.
And the gullible public, really, I think much of it, not all of it, but bought it, because they had newspapers then totally under the control of the Rothschilds and the European banks. Only a handful were not. We didn't have really too much radio then, and we had no television, and we had
no
independent press. So now we have the Internet on top of all of this competition.
It's tremendous.
And these people, these criminals, I don't want to call them people because they're not human, but
they're
these
criminals.
Demonic forces that are trying to silence you and me and Alex and others are really the people that are running, really they're running a little nervous. I mean, they know their time is up, their gig is up.
It's very rewarding to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even it did take me 82 years.
82 years of living.
Well, I've been going 60 years at least.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were, by the way, a little bit of your background before we get into more calls, but when you were growing up, you were a young man. How old were you when Woodrow Wilson was sending us around to fight for democracy?
Well, I wasn't here yet. I didn't get here until 1923.
23. So you were in your father's eye, you were a gleam, and your mother, she was twinkling at you. Here you are, a couple of years after the war's over, a few years, and you had to read a lot, you had to hear a lot from your mother and father, telling you what transpired, and you were growing up at the time of the Second World War. You were a young man.
Well, I went into the war at the age of 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I served throughout World War II in the U.S. Army Air Force.
Ah.
And I like to tell people that's the last war that we ever won.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not the last, but it is. On the record, it is.
Well, you know, the parallels are just amazing, aren't they? The same conditions worldwide now seem to exist that were created during the 1930s in the world, leading up to American interventionism and imperialism in World War II.
Yes, but there seems to be more hope right now, more possibility of success than ever before. That's a wonderful thing.
All right. Let's take some calls. I think if I'm hearing right, we've got Graham in Texas. Is that right? Okay. And who else is in Texas calling? Okay. There was somebody on the line. All right. Get on the line now, 800-313-9443. We will take your call right away from wherever you're listening, all over the world, as a matter of fact, through the marvel of the Internet. And Alex Jones just called in to talk about his program tomorrow, and that's fine because Eustace is going to get a call, and we'll hopefully see that call get through, and he will be on with Alex Jones tomorrow. You know, we're talking about the ADL and this hate crimes bill that maybe we'll be talking about later toward the end of the program tonight because it's coming to a head now. They've rammed it through the House of Representatives. And now this S-1145, apparently unamended, unchanged, unattached, unconferenced, is ready to be voted on now any moment. And this is going to be a real litmus test of whether or not we are going to preserve what's left of our Constitution or lose it all. This hate crimes, the so-called hate crimes bill, as we call it. And essentially what it's doing now is defining speech as a form of terrorism. As you know, Eustace, this is the final nail in the coffin when you can be charged as a terrorist and put on trial because you may be guilty of flaming hatred.
Oh, well, I was called a constitutional terrorist by the FBI for years. That was their term then, a constitutional terrorist. If you dared to mention the Constitution, you were a terrorist.
Boy, what comes around goes around, huh? We've got the Patriot Act, so-called, misnamed, saying essentially the same thing. We've got Tom Ridge, you know, we've got Tommy Franks, we've got all of these people who were part of this new post-9/11 world, essentially telling us, yeah, that's the same story today. Patriots are considered scoundrels, just as they were in ancient Rome, by the way. You know, they were considered to be real terrorists because they were calling on the carpet their so-called leaders, their emperors. That's what they were doing.
Certainly.
And we're doing the same thing today, you know.
It has to be done.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it, and it might as well be us, right, Eustace?
Well, that's right. Well, that's what Tom Jefferson and George Washington said. Somebody's got to do it, so we'll do it.
All right. Now, whisper in my ear again, young man. All right. We've got Graham. Graham from Texas.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, sir?
I was calling because I thought it was interesting you brought up the parallels between World War II and today.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to kind of ask, what do you think? I mean, I think there's definitely a plan.
Yep.
Behind the war in Iraq, and I don't think that mm-hmm. most mainstream media really gets it at all.
Right.
Do you think that you could elaborate on what you think the...
Are you addressing me now, or both of us, or Eustace?
Kind of both of you.
All
I
right.
mean, you know,
sure.
where do you think somebody's got to have a plan? What do you think the real plan is? And
okay, well, let me have Eustace answer you. Stay on the line. Eustace, you take a stab at that one.
Well, it's not really a plan. It's a program. And, of course, there's thinking for the program. When you go to a play, you have to listen to the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's where we are right now. It's a whole charade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's interesting you should say that. You know, we've had on some people who have used the same words, the same verbiage, program. You know, Benton Parton, in effect, said the same thing.
Well, Benton Parton's an old friend of mine.
Yeah. So, you know, it is a program. It's not just a plan. And we are, we're in the middle of this program right now. We haven't reached the end yet, but the end game...
Oh, we haven't reached the end by a long shot, but we're getting there.
The end is totalitarian government, though, isn't it, Eustace?
So what's the goal of the program, though?
The goal is total and complete world control.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think right now they're just hanging on is all they're doing. I don't think the prospects are that good.
Well,
yeah.
I think they remember one thing, though. I mean, that's true, but at the same time, chaos is a very important part of this whole formula, this whole program, is it not?
It is indeed. And in fact, the chaos is working against them because I think these hurricanes, Katrina and Rita down mm-hmm. in Texas and Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
is actually helping us instead of them.
Well,
yeah,
it backfired
because,
on
yeah,
Bush.
Definitely. I think one of the interesting things is you see how badly the media broke down during Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yes.
they were spreading all these. They were basically believing anybody that would tell them any terrible story. And then, you know, they go into the convention center and there's four bodies, you know, and four in the surrounding area.
Well, you know, the mayor of New Orleans started out by saying there are 10,000 corpses in New Orleans. And I think they found about 100 after.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's like normally the media, you know, they tell us whatever we're supposed to believe.
Right,
and then
right.
when we actually trust them, you know, when something real happens, it's not just Monica Lewinsky or whatever
mm.
trash is going on in D.C., but something real, and then they get it that wrong, that's kind of sad.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Even if they're not controlled or whatever, it's just kind of sad on a professional basis. I think they should all be ashamed of themselves.
Well,
it really is not professional, and they are kind of sad because... they screw up everything and they get their hands on it.
We don't have real professionals, though, in the network.
No, they're not.
I
knew professionals at the Press Club
mm-hmm.
in 1946,
mm-hmm.
and these guys were pros. They were riding the crest of the wave, but they were professionals. Drew Pearson, I used to see him every day. And these guys at least knew what they were doing that day.
Yeah.
They didn't know anything about the program.
H.L. Mencken's are not around today, I'm afraid.
No, indeed. H.L. Mencken was right there in Washington when I was there, but you see, I was so tied up with Ezra Pound, I never went over to Baltimore to see H.L. Mencken.
Mm.
One of my mentors, George Simpson, used to go over to visit him once in a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, let me, you wanted me to answer that question as well, right, caller?
Yeah, definitely.
I can't really disagree with anything that Eustace has said. It is following that pattern, again, that program, if you will, that works over and over and over again. And essentially, it's based on the dictum, if you will. Was it Harry Hopkins who said you can, you know, tax and tax, spend and spend, elect and elect, and you can add to that wage war? And the people are too darn dumb to understand. And essentially, they operate on that premise. They believe the people are so stupid and are just sheep. And they can be led from one lie to another, like Bush standing before the cameras. If that were you or I, we would have resigned long ago out of conscience. But an evil man can't do that. Evil man continues to lie, as the scripture says, to deceive and to be deceived as well. And that's what we have today. The same program advancing with setbacks, as we've seen. But you see, the whole idea is to use this country, the greatest country in the world, as a repository for redistribution of the wealth and for war, waging war on behalf of their clients. This is what they're doing to us. They sapped us in World War I. They destroyed us in World War II. And America spread and advanced communism all over the world, deliberately and intentionally now, as we've seen.
And the CIA spread communism. That was a function of the CIA.
Absolutely. The Communist Intelligence Agency. You're right. All right,
I have to offer, a little a glimmer of hope here. They still have their program, and they're stuck with it. The program is not working.
Well, it's doomed to failure anyway, no matter how you look at it.
Is.
Absolute destruction awaits.
That's why I say we can see light at the end of the tunnel.
Now, speaking of hurricanes and Rita, there is a Rita in Texas right now on the phone, and she is quite a whirlwind. Hello, Rita.
Good evening. How are you, gentlemen?
All right.
Mr. Mullins, may I say that my formative education was in the state of Virginia.
Oh, wonderful.
In the Tidewater area. And I'm kind of mad at the public education that I got because I was taught about the fairy tale, about there being a constitution and a, you know, right to a fair trial. And I've been finding out by experience that that's nothing but a fairy tale. But what really concerns me, because you had briefly mentioned about the hate crimes legislation that is attempting to go through Congress.
Advancing through the Senate now, yes.
Yeah. I'm no longer an optimist. I firmly believe that Canada is setting kind of like an example of what is going to happen not only in the United States, but the Canadians are not resisting. They're not resisting.
Well, there is some resistance. I'll tell you, there's a lot of resistance in British Columbia.
Well,
I've spoken there a lot.
Mr. Mullins, I'm sure that there may be some verbal resistance, but the type of resistance that I'm talking about is a resistance that will prevent individuals one by one being incarcerated in the prison system. I was reading a history of the French Revolution, and much of France was Christian. It was a Catholic community at one time, and the atheists, people that were behind the French Revolution, were atheists, and they actually they outlawed religion, and that is what is happening right here in the United States. The freedom of speech in the United States was actually established by principle with the trial of Peter Zenger. Peter Zenger was represented by Alexander Hamilton, and he was being prosecuted for speaking the truth, but it was a crime to not speak speak of the king in a less than flattering way. And the defense that Alexander Hamilton basically was, you know, as a matter of conscience, you know, can they punish an individual for speaking the truth? And that basically is where our freedom of speech started from. But
what is it?
But what I'm seeing is you know, the American Revolution did not start offhand. It was one by one the oppression of the colonists, and then finally it developed into the revolution. This is a religious war that is going on right now, and it is a war that is going to have to be fought to the death. It's either going to be atheism or it's going to be people that are Christian that are going to be picked up just like they were in Russia, just like they were in Eastern Europe, and just like it's still going on in China. And I can recall when the Supreme Court was not corrupt, because I've had a history of reading Supreme Court decisions, but I'll never forget a phrase that the Supreme Court once stated, which is quite true: the greatest oppression that a government can inflict upon its citizenry is to compel them to act contrary to their conscience.
Yes.
And this is that is the greatest tyranny that can occur. And I can assure you that I am not a passive Christian. I have no intentions of quietly being picked up in some kind of black Mariah and thrown into into any gulag or any concentration camp. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to kill me before I wind up in one of those places.
Well, that's what we need more of, real conviction, because
Christ went right into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, sir, but he also had a daggum cat of nine tails, too, that he was armed with.
But you gotta remember, he was empowered.
He
was empowered by the Spirit, the Father.
Not only that, but he's also an example of what a Christian man and how a Christian man ought to be behaving.
Absolutely.
Certainly. That's what he should be doing.
There is a time for violence, and that is recorded in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and we see that in evidence today. One needs to defend oneself, one's God, and one's family, and that's an obligation to all of us.
Let me give you a phrase out of the book of Jeremiah. It's chapter 51:20.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons
for
war.
Exactly.
For thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee I will destroy
nations." We just quoted that the other night. Thanks for bringing that up, Rita.
You're welcome.
Keep your powder dry. Amen, brother.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, well, coming up on the break, we've got Rodney in Texas. You can join us next, 800-313-9443. This is Real Talk Radio, not Sean Hannity, not Combs, not Rush Limbaugh, or any of the other phonies. This is not bought and paid for. It's your forum. You better take advantage of it now while you can. Eustace Mullins, our guest, and we're talking about a myriad of issues, as you can see, all of it centering on these Illuminists, these evil, ungodly, unconscionable Satanists that are orchestrating world events and doing more than that. I think even, as we've seen, weather modification is not beyond their control, but it's backfiring on them because there is one who's in control of this world, and it sure ain't them. We'll be back right here on Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, your radio avenger.
Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're here by the grace of God and Yahweh, our Father. We are here tonight on this Tuesday night and blessed with the presence of this gentleman, and I do mean gentleman, and scholar as well, by the way, Eustace Mullins. And we're going to take more calls, Eustace. As usual, you generate a bevy of phone calls. So let's go to them now, 800-313-9443. And here he is, none other than Rodney in Texas.
Well, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
A pleasure speaking with you, Mr. Mullins.
Well, thank you.
And I do appreciate, Rick, you taking my call this evening. I
always take your call, Rodney.
Well, I've been holding, some of the callers have made me think about some things, particularly Rita.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's right on point. And it really has got me concerned because, mm-hmm. you know, Alex mentioned this Operation Granite Shadow.
Yep.
And I heard his show earlier today where he mentioned that, mm-hmm. you know, these people, they really are after our guns. And then when you tie what he has brought out on his programs with what Rita discussed mm-hmm. in history, you know, Christians have been killed in just mass numbers. I mean, when you think about the previous leader of Russia, how he murdered 30, 40, 50, 60 million people.
Well, a million people here, a million Christians.
Yeah, and here's the thing that's really scary. I just read a very, very recent article talking about how even as we speak, right in Georgia, one of the states over there in Russia, mm-hmm. they're still persecuting Christians and
what's
their children.
Of them? What's and, left of the Christians?
Yeah, right? Yeah, and so it's and for those who think that the, you know, Rita said that I think it was Rita that mentioned that Jesus went. No, it was you, Mr. Mullis, that mentioned that Jesus went into the temple and turned over all the money tables and all of these sort of things. Well, if you remember in the scriptures, there was an account where they, where the mob, the religious mob back then,
mm-hmm.
attempted to throw him off of a precipice, and they couldn't do it because he fought them back.
And also, yeah. I think he had guardian angels too.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, this is not a thing where we, as Christians, are supposed to sit around and just let people come in and take us, at gunpoint and take you off into the middle of the night or you just disappear and no one ever hear you again. And I had a mentor years ago shared a scripture with me from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, and I encourage people to reference this scripture. And because I was also concerned about this issue, with the persecution of Christians, and he told me, he says, well, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us that we have to just sit down and just let somebody come in and just kill you without you having the right to defend mm-hmm. yourself. And in fact, I would paraphrase that scripture. It says you have the right to fight for yourself and for your brother.
Read the Romans. Read the book of Romans. Read all of
sure.
them. And you'll see the right to protect the family.
We have a lot of false religious leaders out here who have given Christians this impression that we're supposed to just yield.
Well, the churches are being bought off. With the money now coming.
And in fact, one of the reasons why today the Christians over in Georgia are being persecuted is because over in Russia they have what they call a Orthodox authorized church over there, and they're the ones who lead all the persecution.
Right.
And so, anyway, I have one question.
All right, we got a break coming up, Rodney, so I'm going to ask you to just hold, okay?
Yes.
Stay where you are, and Frank from Austin and all of you, we'll be right back in just about a minute and 20 seconds. I'm Rick Adams.
Censored. Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
Yes, and I like that chainsaw that we have in the background. It sort of rings some music to my ears. A rather nice, discordant note. I think of necks and heads being sawed off, and I can't think of anything more apropos to the traitorous bunch that is now in control of this government in Washington. We are with our regular here, Eustace Mullins, who we managed to get back on the program tonight. Tomorrow he'll also be on Alex Jones' show at, what time is that? 1 o'clock,
o'clock
in the afternoon, Eastern time. And right now we are taking your calls, and we are still with our caller here from Texas, Rodney. Yes, go ahead, continue. You had another point you wanted to make.
Yes, and it was in correlation with this hate, this unconstitutional hate crimes legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked Mr. Mullins, because it's obvious that there's been attempts by some of these vile individuals to keep people like myself and Rick and others who listen to you, Mr. Mullins, from being able to tie the past in with the present, because you know so much about, you can connect, you know, the dots with things that have happened.
I can see the pattern all through history. It's amazing. I learned that from Ezra Pound.
Right, and you're a threat to these individuals, but
mm-hmm.
here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of printed literature out there, which has educated a lot of people and brought a lot of individuals out of the dark. Now, with this hate crimes legislation about to be passed, how is this going? Would you care to speculate on how this might affect printed legislation? Because, I mean, to me, these individuals, that would be just as threatening as, you know, a person verbally expressing themselves.
Good point. Good question, Rodney. All right, let him answer it, and you can hang up if you wish, and we can continue with other callers. Good point. Go ahead. That's a good question for you, Eustace. What do you think of the chances you're going to be arrested because of your literature?
Well, I've never been arrested in my life. I've never spent a night in jail. Now, many people have asked me in my meetings, Eustace, why haven't you ever been in jail? Well, I certainly am trying not to be in jail, but I have never been there yet. But these hate crimes legislations, you know, it's an interesting thing that the only people who ever talk about hate are the haters.
That's for sure.
Now, Christ talked about love. I don't remember him ever mentioning hate.
Well, he did hate, but he hated the opposite of love. You're right.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But he was talking about love, and that's what you talk about.
Uh-huh.
Because Christ talked about mercy and love and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that he lived by. So
you're right.
When you start talking about hate and hate crimes, you're getting off the track.
Well, you know, others have analyzed this law that will be passed if we don't stop it now, and that's many applications, and including people who publish, people who have spoken, people who have done so in the past, not something that's just present. You know, you look at even like eBay, for instance, which I'm on quite a bit selling, and you see the restrictions there and political correctness now, you know, trying to sell certain cartoons, for instance, you know, that are racial in nature. All of this sort of thing now is being encroached upon in the marketplace. So, you know, it's almost like here it is. The brave new world is here. Freedom is what we tell you it is, and anything else is not freedom. So slavery is freedom, and freedom can be enslaved, you see? This is the name of the game, my friend.
It really is. Amazon.com sold my Federal Reserve book for years, and then they changed the restrictions, and they wouldn't acknowledge receiving the cases of books that I sent them.
That's amazing. That is unbelievable.
They stopped paying me, and of course they don't have my books anymore. I don't send them to them. But they're offering used copies of my books for as much as $60 a piece.
Wow. All right. We'll be back with that. And Frank and Austin and others, stay tuned for more. I'm Rick Adams, Eustace Mullins.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, and again, we're with our guest, Eustace Mullins, and we're going to go right back to the phones and say hello to Frank in Austin. Hello, Frank. Are you there, Frank?
Yes.
Hello, welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I was just looking up this electronic harassment, you know, on the internet today, and I was reading some of the articles about our president, and it was just saying that he's like a member of the Illuminati, and it was talking about how much everything that God done put on our earth for us, you know, to receive as you know, for health and wealth and knowledge and his spirit, they want to take that out and take that away from us. And it just made me just so, you know, mad. And I've been just fighting so many different types of spiritual attacks from, you know, these people. And I haven't had a voice or, you know, I wrote a few of these ministers and these churches and traveled to a couple of churches and tried to voice, you know, these different situations that's been occurring, but it's all tying into everything that y'all talking about.
And, yes, indeed it does.
And the Lord, he's been, you know, protecting me and watching over me, and all these people here have been witnessing it, and it's been like a true testimony that God is alive and that God does protect his children. And I'd just like, you know, for us to stand fast and, you know, stand with God. Because
have you been listening to us? You sound like a new voice.
Yeah, I'm a new voice.
Good. Well, good to have you aboard, Frank. I appreciate that.
All right.
And thank you for your words. And you're right. Keep your faith, because he's the only one that you should have faith in.
Yes.
Thank you. Right.
All right, thanks.
We don't put our faith in men. I mean, we know there are good men, there are bad men, good women, bad women. But ultimately, the one that's not going to let you down is going to be Yahweh. I mean, let's face it. We can all slip and fall and make mistakes, but he doesn't. And there are no mistakes or accidents in his world, in his economy, as far as I'm concerned, Eustace.
No, indeed. I see it every day.
And, well, you're living proof of it. You know, you've been a survivor where others have been eliminated, others died along the way from natural causes, unnatural causes, but God
well,
put
I like
you
to
here.
Think that they've fallen by the wayside.
Yeah. There's a lot of waste out there to
oh,
fall
there
into.
Indeed.
All right, 800-313-9443, and we're getting quite an education tonight. Let's take Blake now in Austin. Hello, Blake.
Yahweh bless you, Rick.
Well, thank you.
And your excellent Mr. Mullins.
Yes,
thank
was
you,
the
Mr.
guest.
I heard you say, Eustace, you never spent the night in jail. Well, you've already got me beat. I spent one night in jail, so I'm assuming maybe you wouldn't sit down on the right in front of them like Cindy Sheehan did today.
No, I didn't, but I did when I was in Canada. I never picketed one time, and I was some friends. We picketed the Canadian Broadcasting Company in Canada, mm-hmm. outside of the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only time, but nobody was arrested. But that's the closest I ever came to being in a situation where I would be arrested.
Mm.
Well, I first discovered your work a few years ago. And then when I found out you were on a show or something, I think maybe a TV show, and I was like, wow, this guy is alive. That's amazing. And I think that's a testimony to God right there.
Sure is.
Oh, it is indeed, because I've never had any protection. I've traveled all over the world, and I nearly always travel by myself, nobody guards, no nothing. And when I went to Lyndon LaRouche's meetings, Lyndon was always surrounded by bodyguards. And he almost invented these gates that you walk through. This was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That you'd walk through to see whether he had any guns or not. And nobody's ever tried to lay a finger on him.
Well, what do you think about a guy like Lyndon LaRouche?
Well, he does try, but
I don't know how sincere he is and whether or not he is bought and paid for and controlled. I'd be very cautious of him.
Well, he certainly is fulfilling a function.
Mm.
For a long time in Washington, he was about the only dissident voice that was around.
You remember one thing, though, and you have to be careful. All of us have to be careful because, you know, the agents within the movement who have infiltrated and taken over, they will give you almost the whole truth.
Well, they will. They've got
99% of it.
Hook the fish. They got to hook the fish.
Exactly. So there are some things when they start getting off into other areas, and then you got these characters with flying saucers and all kinds of invasions and aliens and Martians and so forth. It's time to watch out. It's time to be careful.
Reptile people, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do have some reptilian characters. We have some in Washington.
We've always had reptilians.
Yeah, that's for sure, right. Okay, Blake, did you have another question?
I had one point. Yes, I did have a question and one quick point.
Go ahead.
That hate crime legislation bill.
Right.
Pass
the
number?
House. Yes, it's S-1145.
I called Senator Cornyn's office today and gave him a piece of my mind.
John's office, yeah.
About it being they ought to think twice, the public servants serving in the U.S. government before they give a blanket violation of the First Amendment like that.
And they haven't even read. Many of these guys don't even read these bills at all, you know.
They haven't read the Constitution.
No, we know that. That goes without saying. But I mean,
well, I knew every person who was on trial in the treason trials of World War II.
That was
Mr. Dilling and all those people.
SR 1145?
Yes.
And my point, the hate crimes bill seems like it would cancel itself out to their thinking. I mean, this Brave New World type of mentality.
Yes.
Hate in the mind would be a crime. To consider anything hate thought, you would have to entertain the thought, thereby committing thought crime of hate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and eventually that is what they say, well, we just have to lobotomize everybody.
Yeah.
They'll go after everybody. These people think they're serving them.
Yeah.
They devour their own. Roaring
yeah.
lion. Well, God bless you, sir.
You know, thank you. That's Satan's deception, isn't it? Well, you know, before we go on to the next call in Tennessee, you know, I was alluding to it earlier, and that's something that we brought up on the show, and how these churches are just putting up no opposition at all to the federal government being so heavily involved in areas where it should not be. Instead of protecting our borders, protecting us from enemies within and without, the government now is providing all sorts of aid, allowing Mexican army to come in and so forth. And here we have these faith-based initiatives, Here we've got the FEMAcrats that the government in Washington using taxpayers' money to reimburse churches and other religious institutions to provide shelter, food, and supplies to survivors. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? Pretty soon the government will just own the churches, take them over, and use them.
Well, faith-based initiatives, the initials of that are FBI.
Exactly. Maybe not without reason, huh?
Yes.
All right. Let's
no
take,
accidents.
Let's take more calls. 800-313-9443. Eustace Mullins is with us. And is that you in Tennessee?
Yes.
Hello.
How are you all doing?
Very well, thank you, sir. What's your question or comment? Go right ahead now.
Question. It pertains to history.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mullins, you are one of the historians I've read their works. I've always admired them.
Mm-hmm.
And was wondering if you ever knew a young man named John Wayne Todd.
No, I don't think that rings a bell right immediately.
He was sounding the alarm, giving the warning in the late 70s and early 80s. He was afterward arrested on trumped-up charges. And on the day that he won his case and walked out of prison, murdered, I understand.
My goodness, I think I have heard that name. But that has happened to a lot of people.
Oh, yes. And then there was another president of Harding University at Searcy, Arkansas, George F. Benson. Do you remember him?
Yes, indeed.
He was quite a patriot and a hero of a lot of people. I used to listen to his radio broadcast in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a very well-known name back in the 70s.
Yes, sir. Very patriotic man. Very anti-establishment.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to run a few names by you as part of if you want to call it the History of the Truth movement.
Sure, sure.
And just see if you recall them. And, Rick, do you recall those names?
Some of them I do. I do, yeah. I was studying in the 60s and 70s, late 60s, early 70s, became more aware.
Well, I was
so
a
they're
kid.
Put it this way, they are not unfamiliar to me, most of those names, and many more, by the way, many others that we haven't even mentioned yet.
I was a kid in high school at that time. I'm going to leave you be. Yahweh Shalom.
God bless you. Bye-bye now, sir. All right, very good. We have others on the line that want to speak to you, and we'll get to them. Martin from New Mexico and you out there at 800-313-9443. And I love the participation in the program. Eustace Mullins is enjoying it. He's going to tell us, by the way, about his foundation coming up and how people can write to him, people can get in touch with him, and, you know, what other ways that there are on the Internet to get accustomed to Eustace Mullins. So you stay with us as we continue with Uncensored Radio, Free America, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the network. Support us. Get online and support the store. That means a lot to us. So stay with us and join us at 800-313-9443. Radio Avenger Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. We'll be back with Eustace Mullins.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Good Good call. Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. True confessions, huh?
Oh, boy, that was quite a statement there.
And that's no imposter. That's the real Sting.
My God.
You know, Charlie Reese, in his syndicated column last week, he brought out some points he calls basic premises upon which he bases his thinking. And here's a couple of them. The American government is corrupt from top to bottom. Touché. If you rely on the mass media to inform you about your community, your state, or your nation, you will, with rare exceptions, be woefully ignorant of what's really going on. I agree. And then he says the universal franchise is a bad idea. The notion that the destiny of the nation should be put in the hands of ignoramuses, parasites, boobs, party hacks, and idiots is absurd on its face. Boy, wasn't that like the Roman Empire, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, our Supreme Court has said that we should follow the legal decisions of other countries.
Well, that's right. Some of our Supreme Court justices, yeah. I mean, why not? After all, Earl Warren said that in the 1950s with his infamous decision, and that was the Topeka decision, you know?
Oh, yes.
And, of course, when he wrote the opinion of the court, he said he was relying not on the U.S. Constitution, but he was relying on Swedish sociologists.
That's right, the Swedish sociologists. That,
yeah.
That whole decision was on this Swede. I can't think of his name.
Gunnar Dennis, I think it was, wasn't it?
Gunnar Mydam.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, Gunnar Mydam. And, you know, it goes to show you the Brown decision, other decisions, the invasion of our states, the sovereignty, all of this took place long ago as we speak tonight. So we better remember.
You know, the Brown decision wrecked our entire public school system.
Of course it did.
And it's still wrecked today. It's shattered.
Well, and I'm grateful for that, by the way. I'll tell you, we got this evolution nonsense now being peddled in the classrooms, and I'm grateful. Anything that will weaken the public schools and help dismantle it, I'm all for it. So
well, it all helps.
Let's go to it.
I think that this Katrina and the Rita hurricanes down in the South may be the turning point of this whole thing. It may be a big turnaround.
Well, a lot of people are starting to question. We've got more people buying guns now in light of the attempt to disarm them by the authorities. Not
well,
the criminals. It's the
well, you know,
criminals.
When they picked Teddy Kennedy to disarm the people of the United States, I think they picked the wrong guy.
Well, I guess he has a history of that, doesn't he?
He really does.
We could ask Mary Jo Kopechne a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I've been to Chappaquiddick Bridge,
mm-hmm.
And you know that she drowned in 4 feet of water.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've been right at the bridge.
When you're being held down, it's pretty hard not to. All right, Margaret from New Mexico, hello.
Sorry. this is really a really interesting discussion, and
thank you
for both having this and you being on, Eustace. It's been a long time since I've heard you on any broadcast, and I talked to you quite a few years ago. But I heard you say at some point quite a while back that, and I hope this is not too far off the discussion, but you had talked about the flu of 1918, or that, you know, that time when
murder by injection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just thinking I should go through it again. But you said that it was caused, that it was formulated. I don't know exactly what.
It was created.
It was created.
It was created by vaccination. And the Germans, this was during World War One, and the Germans and the Allies, who vaccinated the truth, their troops, had equal casualties. It killed as many Germans as it killed Americans.
But, I mean, you're saying that the vaccinations caused the epidemic to just go crazy in this country and, I guess, abroad, too.
It weakened their immune systems. That was the whole idea.
And then it just spread.
Yes, it spread everywhere. Everybody's immune system was found culpable of this infection.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't realize they were doing the vaccinations.
And they're still doing it, and they're still
giving
people the same diseases. They're telling everybody now get ready for the flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And especially,
they say that every year.
Especially the weakest, the ones that can least afford
the children
it.
Children and the old people.
Get it, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm 82, and, you know, the doctors go crazy because I won't take a flu shot.
Well, you survived it, haven't you? You probably wouldn't have been here had you taken it, you.
No,
that's really true. I had a friend that died of the swine swine flu shot, and I don't remember the swine flu ever coming to this country.
Oh, swine flu was Gerald Ford's invention as a reward for being on the Warren Commission.
And he was on that commission, Well, all right.
Thank
any
you
other
so
questions?
Much.
Thank you.
All
right.
All.
Thank
I
you,
just
Margaret.
I really appreciate
good
that.
Good to
Thanks
hear from
lot.
You. Call
okay.
again. All right. Now, we've got Dan in Houston, and let's see if we can squeeze him in right now. Hello, Dan. Hello, Dan. Sound like you're flushing down a toilet or something. My goodness. Hello? Oh, whatever happened. Huh?
Oh, my. Never heard anything like that.
Well, maybe he just had a little case of, maybe he was caught in Katrina or something. I don't know. All right, 800-313-9443 is our number, and I see the clock ticking. Eustace, can you stay till the end of the show, or you're tired out now?
Well, how far is the end of the show?
Another 25 minutes or so.
Oh, I think I can survive that.
All right, you think you can survive? You'll be a survivor.
Yeah.
And a real survivor, huh?
Oh,
all
yeah.
right. All right, the number again, 800-313-9443. Time to take a break, and we will return with Eustace Mullins.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
And we are back in our final half hour now with Eustace Mullins. And Eustace, as you can see, of course, all around you, indeed, we have a good cross-section of listenership across the nation and even the world, for that matter, including Canada. And people are angry like they've never been before in my lifetime. And yet they seem to be or feel a sense of defenselessness, of hopelessness, because I think that many people feel that given the nature of the times in which we live, as you pointed out earlier, it's not just a struggle of armies. It's not a flesh and blood battle. We're fighting against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness, as the scripture says, in very high places like Washington, in the church, the so-called body of Christ, we find all of these phonies working together. And I see this whole world system, as I alluded to earlier, this world system being created where America is brought down to her knees, and we're seeing that every day now. Other nations are being given preeminence, like Red China, which now holds the notes of America largely.
Oh, yes.
People have invested in mortgages only to find that China is holding the note, Red China. And what if Red China decides to call in some of these notes and the U.S. government permits it to happen? I don't think they will. Not yet. I think they'll wait. But we saw that with the attempt to buy the oil company, Unocal.
Certainly. That was a very good move. It showed where they're heading anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and just think now. In your time, when you were alive at the end of World War II, we saw China betrayed to communism, and Joe McCarthy exposed the fact that indeed China was taken over without even the need to fire a shot. It was treason from within.
But we armed General Stilwell, armed the Chinese communists with
and
the
disarmed Chiang Kai-shek.
And disarmed Kai-shek. That's exactly right.
So, I mean, again, this was not an accident. This was part of the program to create Red China out of World War II interventionism. And then from there, so many years later, Red China would be our biggest, most serious threat now to us, not only in Asia, but right here in our own continent.
But, you know, Joe McCarthy hammered again and again in the Senate. He said, who betrayed China? He raised that.
Right, exactly.
And he was the only one in Washington that ever asked that question.
And for it, these scumbags like Stuart Symington from Missouri and Flanders from Vermont and all these other scumbags were out there more concerned about why McCarthy was raising these questions than the answers to the questions. I found that to be fascinating.
Yeah, and they conspired to stop him by representing
And they succeeded. They succeeded, but the media did most of the hammering and the same
well,
media
they
today.
Were just they were just prostitutes as usual.
Well, yeah, but I mean the same media today that put away people like Joe and Martin Dyes and other patriots and the neutrality advocates in the 20s and 30s who were wisely cognizant of the fact that interventionism always leads to more problems instead of nationalism and neutrality. All of these people were tarred and feathered and smeared and vilified as hate mongers. Even General Patton was called a Nazi because he didn't want to go along with the rape of Germany and the destruction of Europe.
Well, he wanted to attack Russia.
Right, exactly. So, you know, we see
that
the
was
same
Hitler's
scum.
Program. He was taking up Hitler's program.
Right, exactly. No wonder he was a Nazi, right? All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-313-9443. And let's talk to Walt in Arizona. Hello, Walt.
Well, good evening, Rick and Eustace. It's always a pleasure to hear you. You're a wonderful pair.
Likewise.
Both of you have a fine background and complement each other beautifully.
And so do you.
The lady from Texas, was that Rita?
Rita.
I want to just correct her on one point. The man that defended John Peter Zenger was Andrew, just like Andrew Carnegie, the Scotchman. This was Andrew Hamilton from Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that. I wondered about that myself because it didn't quite ring quite true.
And he
corrected that.
He was a Virginia planter.
For heaven's
sake.
Then
he moved to Maryland. And from there he went to Pennsylvania and studied law.
I guess.
And at the time of the trial, he was called back from retirement up to the trial, which I believe was held in New York City. And I'm getting some of these facts out of a six-volume set of American history by Channing that was published in 1908.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little research and went to the College of Law, University of Arizona at Tucson, and found all the state trials. And so I photocopied the whole trial. It's known as 17 Howell's State Trials, beginning at page 675, and at page 721, in the closing arguments, it had the following. From closing arguments, trial for libel of John Peter Zenger, given by barrister from Philadelphia, Andrew Hamilton, for the defense. Quote, power may justly be compared to a great river. While kept within its due bounds, it is both beautiful and useful, but when it overflows its banks, it is then too impetuous to be stemmed. It bears all down before it and brings destruction and desolation wherever it comes. If then this is the nature of power, let us at least do our duty, and like wise men who value freedom, use our utmost care to support liberty, the only bulwark against lawless power, which in all ages has sacrificed to its wild lust and boundless ambition the blood of the best men that ever lived. 17 Howell's State Trials, beginning at page 675, quoted from page 721.
Well,
those are
really
words
great.
Of wisdom.
Yes, indeed, they are.
Well, that's all I have for now.
All right, Walt.
Nice
thank
to talk
you,
to
Walt,
you
for joining again. Sure. Well, that's fascinating. And, you know, history, again, it reminds me of Frederick Bastiat, The Law.
Oh, yes.
And that was quite a piece. Very short.
It was indeed.
Short essay, but good.
But we had so many wonderful minds in this country. This Andrew Hamilton, I never heard his name before tonight. Right.
Oh, yeah, but we don't forget, it was a different era, Eustace. We're dealing with centuries ago when men were far more familiar with the Bible, I believe, in many ways, and far more.
They were indeed. They read it in the Greek.
I tell you, I wouldn't want to trade any of them for these so-called politicians that are in Washington today. They are the typical democracy advocates, if you will, the mob.
They are mob people.
And they are the pipers, and at the same time, they are also being the dancers to the tune that the mob is calling. So if the mob says, you know, we're going to elect more Democrats or more Republicans, whichever, that'll open the borders more and provide more welfare, the welfare state, then fine, we'll do whatever the people say they want, you know. And that is the special interest people, not the people who pay for all of it, but the people that are active, politically active and control, and they range from the senior lobby to the foreign lobbies to the oil lobbies to the powerful elite. And that is why democracy is so evil, in my opinion, and so corrupt, because it is the essence and quintessence of all of these factors, you see?
Oh, yes. I used to walk down Constitution Avenue in the evening with George Simpson in the summer of 46. And we would walk on Constitution Avenue. There were two great buildings between the White House and the Capitol, and those two buildings were the Standard Oil offices right down to Independence Avenue, and next to it was the Masonic building. Those buildings are gone now. There's a courthouse there.
Ah.
But we used to walk past those buildings.
What a replacement, huh?
Oh, gosh, yes. And they were the most two important buildings in Washington at that time.
Yeah, and, you know, the courts today are certainly influenced largely by masonry.
Oh, yes.
The whole government, as we can see. And that's a subject that you have delved into somewhat, but not maybe not as much as you would like to, or have you?
Oh, more than I wanted to, because I've spent 40 years in litigation. I got several lawsuits going on right now.
What about masonry, though? Freemasonry?
Freemasonry is, well, I call the courts a Masonic fraternity.
Yeah. Can't argue with you there.
Oh, yes. In my book, The Rape of Justice, I have a whole chapter on that.
Good.
And how the Masons go into the door of the courtroom, and they make the Masonic sign of distress as they come through the door.
Yeah.
And only a Mason knows what that is.
That's amazing, but it is true. I mean, I've heard it. I've heard the stories from people who know.
I've seen it.
Okay, let's take some more calls, 800-313-9443, on Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, and Dan in Houston? Hello.
Yes, sir, hey. Hello, how you doing?
You're on the air, Dan.
Thank you. I want to know, what is y'all's opinion of the John Birch Society? I think John Birch Society says everything you guys said tonight. Do you have an opinion of that organization?
Well, we've talked about it before from different points of view, and let me ask Eustace, what is your assessment of the Birch Society today?
Well, the Birch Society, Revlo Oliver was one of my best friends. He was one of the organizers, and they kicked him out finally.
Yeah,
Revlo Oliver told me that whenever the John Birch Society ran short on payroll, they had a rolling account, a fund, at Chase National Bank, put up by Nelson Rockefeller himself, and they would meet their payroll from this $250,000 fund.
So you're saying something that's, it's a little bit unsettling to a lot of people who probably...
Well, it may be, but I happen to know, and I know people, I know two people who were at the meeting when the John Birch Society was promised funding by the Rockefellers, and it was chaired by Nelson Rockefeller himself. And I know two people who were at that meeting, and they planned to buy the Welch Candy Company.
Yep.
And later on, National Biscuit Company, another Rockefeller company, took over that company. And Robert Welch's nephew, John Welch, became a director of the new Nabisco Company.
What a deal.
Did you know the man that was the... President Albert decided he was killed in a plane crash. He was a senator. I forgot his name. Senator
Congressman McDonald, Lawrence Patton McDonald. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Lawrence McDonald.
Did you know him? Do you think he was up and up, or was he?
No, he was really on the up and up. I knew him and I supported him, and he was just about the best man in Congress at the time. And yeah, there's always been speculation about how he died and what he was planning to do had he lived. Some say he was planning to announce his departure from the board of the society and get out because he felt it no longer was on the up and up and that they couldn't afford to have happen. I don't know.
Well, he was on the airliner that was shot down by a Russian airplane, right?
Yes, it was 007.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. And we noted that in previous interviews with Eustace because Ronald Reagan was president then, and he was so much a good buddy of the Soviet Union in this new spirit of cooperation that he...
Oh, you mean Red Ronnie?
Yeah, he didn't
That's
even
mention
McDonald's.
That's what his own is in Hollywood, is Red Ronnie.
Red Ronnie, huh? Mm-hmm.
You know that way where in Hollywood, you said?
Yeah, Hollywood.
When he was an actor.
He was president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
The Communist Party.
Yes.
And he was a member of the Communist Party?
No. Well, for a while he was, right from the beginning, wasn't he? He was quite with them. He was notoriously with them, and then he became a stoolie, I guess. Is that what they've said to us? Is that true, Houston?
Well, it was a sort of an acting job. Mm-hmm. He was called Red Ronnie, and all of a sudden he appeared as an anti-communist.
Yeah, that was a quick turnabout.
He was also a newspaper reporter for the Hearst, for some newspaper. It was a reporter, wasn't he? A newspaper reporter?
That I'm not familiar with.
I'm sure he did articles for them.
Well, according to my aunt who knew him, he was a newspaper reporter, and I thought she did it for Hertz. Hey, let me change the subject. I got our country now being controlled by this gang. You know, they control the White House, the Senate, the House, the Supreme Court. Is there a way to defeat them by using the Constitution's First Amendment, the right to petition the government?
Mm-hmm.
And can I give you a website where there's a petition, you sign, you mail it, and it's a petition, you print it, and you sign, you mail it.
Sure, go ahead.
www.closethebordernow.com.
Right.
And there are petitions there, you sign separate ones. One is to make our flag the only legal flag except for state flags and mm-hmm. constitutional mm-hmm. entities.
Mm-hmm.
And a flag to make America the English official language, and a flag to prosecute by law those who hire a big lady, and several different petitions there to sign.
All right, you've done that. Very good.
But would you agree that would solve the problem, though, using a First Amendment right
sure.
to petition the government? To
Absolutely. No doubt about it, Dan.
Well, you know, every country in the world has a closed border. You can't walk into any country in the world.
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, if you try to get into Mexico, you won't get in that easily, will you?
No, you won't.
Yeah, try to fly our flag. Yes, sir.
And if you start a business in Mexico, you have to turn over 52% of the stock to the politicians.
Ah.
Yeah, try to fly the American flags in Mexico. See what happens to you then. Yeah. God bless you guys.
Tells you something, doesn't it? Thank you, Dan. Thank you. You too. Well, we have another segment to go yet. If you want to jump on the line quickly, I think there's a line available for you quickly at 800-313-9443. Heavy, heavy topics, heavy subjects, and it certainly beats watching the boob tube, the idiot box, the ball games, and everything else day after day, night after night, because this ain't Oprah. This is real talk radio, and that's what they hate the most.
People, which is that Oprah makes
people
more money
who think,
than you do.
What's that?
Oprah makes more money than Rick.
Well, I think she could probably say a lot more than making more money.
But, well, there is this, because she makes more
money
than
I do, too. I don't wear her hair and her makeup and her dress either. So.
I'll tell you, she has become very flippant. She actually means nothing anymore.
Uh-huh.
She's just very good at what she does, and she's well paid for it.
Well, that's the name of the game. And as
it
you pointed out at the beginning of the show, Morton Downey Jr. found out, you just can't bring too much true information to the public because you'll wind up without a contract, without a show, and without a voice, and as he certainly did.
Well, he looked terrible in his last years. You know, he died of lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he was a heavy smoker and everything. I understand that, but...
Well, he was smoking all the time.
All the time, and drinking, too. But the fact of the matter is that besides all of the, the flippancy and the entertainment, it was a guy that actually did give people like you a
chance.
Yeah,
he was a man of courage, there's no question about it.
For his time, yeah, absolutely. And, I remember the days of Joe Pine and some of the others that
Joe Pine was like that, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But interesting information.
You know, Joe Pine wanted me on his show, but yet at that time I had absolutely no money, and you had to pay your own way out there.
Oh, yeah.
So I never appeared on Joe Pine.
I understand that, yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll continue, and we're going to mention that number again of the bill and the number to call in Washington on the ADL-sponsored hate bill in Congress as we speak, coming up for a vote in the Senate. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. My guest, Eustace Mullins, will return.
Get back. Black Adam with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
So we are back. What a full night. Full night tonight. What a heavy, heavy show. Great show with Eustace Mullins. And we're going to take a final call in a moment on illegal aliens and the discussion about our borders or lack thereof. But I wanted to give that number again, obviously, to call to find out who your senator is in the Senate in Washington. And you'll find out as soon as you call this number, 877-762-8762. And that's the bill, S-1145. Just mentioned the so-called hate bill, so-called hate speech bill. And that's what we're talking about, telling the senators to vote it down. All right, we've got, in Texas now, a young man that wants to talk to us. His name is Andrew. And, Andrew, you had something you wanted to relate about illegal invasions.
Hey there. How you doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
Cool. Hey, just wanted to relay what happened to me about 15 minutes ago. I'm over at the HEB supermarket here, which is our regional supermarket down here in Central Texas.
Okay.
So I'm in there, and I'm waiting in line, and there's two people in front of me, and I'm going, why the hell is it taking so long, speak the language, to check out? And obviously the lady's got a lot of food, but I look down, and I realize that the checker is, every single time he scans an item, he's got to look down at a little piece of paper and mark something off.
Mm.
But it does this a couple more times, and I realize, oh, it's food stamps. Well, I kind of look at the family, and I realize these people, number one, they're illegal aliens. Number two, they speak no English. Number three, they've got, you know, four kids with them. This is our tax money that is paying for, you know, the illegal aliens. And I've just got a big issue with that, and I mentioned it to the checkout clerk, and he said the exact same thing. He agreed with me. And after I checked out, he goes, well, looks like we got another one. Lo and behold, I looked behind me, and the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the person that checked out in front of me bought about $180 worth of groceries. Guess how much it cost him?
How much?
About $1.58.
Wow. Eustace, any comment on this?
Well, it shows we're paying tribute to the invaders.
Mm-hmm.
This
sounds
familiar. Paying tribute. There's no question about it.
History, huh?
Yes.
Repeated right now. Well, that's very good of you to tell us, Andrew. I appreciate that. It makes one nauseous, to say the least.
Yeah.
The
other thing we all need to realize is that there is actually a radio station, and the name of the station is, if you translate it into English, it is The Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it's not surprising. It goes with the territory, doesn't it, huh?
It really does.
It is disgusting.
They're being very frank about it.
Absolutely. Andrew, I'm glad you related that subject to us tonight. Thank you. Appreciate
that.
Thanks for calling the program. Very good. Who's that? Blake wants the double dip quickly. We got about 30 seconds. Blake, hi, you're on the program again.
Yes, I called a different number. It was the Senate switchboard. It was 1-202.
Yeah, you can call that too.
225-3121. And they said, who do you want to talk to? I said, I don't know, anybody. And they said, we'll give you John Cornyn.
Well, you ask for your state senator from your state, and they will connect you.
I didn't even tell them that, and they got me to him.
Right, but that's what people need to do. They can call either number. The toll-free number is easy because it's toll-free. And that number, again, is 877-762-8762. I'm out of time. Thank you, Blake, for that.
Thank you,
Eustace Mullins. We'll have you back again, and we'll tell people how to get in touch with you tomorrow.
Oh, this has been an outstanding program.
It always is. And please stay well. God bless you. We'll be in touch. And watch out for the Mossad.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, brother. Thank you. Well, time's up. Tomorrow night, God willing, back again, 8 o'clock Central, Uncensored Radio, Free America, on rbnlive.com. Rick Adams, good night.